This is Free Talk Live, Thursday edition, your show. You take control of the airwaves. We're launching into hour number two. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
The toll-free number is 800-259-9231. That's the Packet 8 toll-free line for you. You can also join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features there completely free. That, again, freetalklive.com. Start things out by going straight to the phones and to the fun. Let's talk to Justin in Utah. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark. Hello, Justin.
Oh, hey, guys. I was calling in to talk about the public school and private school systems.
Sure.
I was in a private school for 7 years, and then I transferred out to a public school, and I've been in public schools for 4 years. Mm. I just kind of want to discuss the kind of stark differences between the two.
Please do.
Okay. Well, at the private school, the teachers kind of obviously cared a lot more.
Really?
We had classes with like 12 people, and in the sixth grade, one of my teachers actually came to my soccer game when I was playing and watched a few of my games and kind of, you know, he's really interacting with me, and he's kind of out. He was kind of in my outside life, kind of outside school too.
Just because he wanted to be.
Yeah, just because he wanted to be. I mean, he asked if we were kind of talking about it in class with the other kids, and he asked if he could come to one of our games. And of course, we said yes, and he did come. He came to like two or three, and it kind of made us want to be in his class, you know.
Sure.
And then in public school, the difference is kind of huge. Like the teachers really don't care that much. I mean, there are two or three of my teachers that are actually really good teachers, but for the majority, most of them don't care nearly as much as the private school teachers do, because they have an incentive to care.
That's true. Well, the private school teachers do, and the government school teachers have an incentive to just be there for a specified period of time until their pension kicks in.
Yeah, and in my school district, our math and science grades are really bad for the district, so they've actually decided to pay the math and science teachers more to kind of incent them to teach better.
And has it done anything?
No. The grades are like the same they've been in the last like 15 years. And so they've decided to raise the paychecks again.
I don't know that that's going to make the same teachers teach any better. I mean, one would assume that they're teaching if they're dedicated to their jobs, they're teaching as well as they would for any paycheck.
Right.
I mean, you might attract better teachers, but with the way teachers' unions are and the unlikelihood that they're going to lose their jobs.
Right. Well, it sounds to me like the teachers' union, which all these government school teachers are likely members of, are out there lobbying and saying, you know, we'd get better scores if you just pay us more.
Exactly. It's like rewarding their incompetence.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, one thing I noticed, though, is when I transferred from 6th grade to the public school 7th grade, I had one kid who transferred with me, and the funny thing is that we were both, like, 2 years ahead of the kids in our class.
Sounds about right. Did you test up? Did you actually get to move up, or were you forced to stay in that grade?
Yeah, we ended up staying, but needless to say, we got 4.0s and everything. And
yeah,
so,
it was like a walk in the park, right? Going from
it still is. I mean, we're in now there are like 5 of us who went to public school because this private school doesn't offer a high school.
Why did that was going to be my next question? Why on earth would your parents have sent you to government school after having such a good experience with private school?
Oh yeah, well, and another thing was the kind of the tuition went up like $3,000, so it was $13,000 a year.
Mm.
And that was kind of an issue, is we have 4 kids in our family.
And
so
it's pretty hefty.
Yeah. And, well, the thing is now, even though I'm kind of in the upper echelon of high schools,
right,
we're at the International Baccalaureate program.
Okay.
And the kind of funny thing is, like, the huge difference between the teachers. Like, our teachers, you can definitely see the difference between the two. I mean, the teachers in the normal program are just kind of there, and three or four of my teachers kind of, like, you can tell they want to be there.
You mean the teachers in the IB program?
Yes.
Are better teachers than the other teachers?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I can completely tell in there.
But still, comparing the IB teachers to the private school teachers, what do you have to say on that?
Well, the teachers, there are two of them that really, I mean, are awful. And there are three of them that are good teachers, and one of them that was about the level of my private school teachers.
Gotcha.
Which is saying something, because there are 6 private school teachers who are kind of amazing, and now there's 1 out of 6 in my high school.
That's amazing.
And I'm,
gotcha.
Yeah.
So you're essentially rolling the dice on a government school. If your parents sending your kids to a government school, there's a chance that there's going to be a good teacher, but for the most part, they're mostly, on average, going to be lousy. They're going to be bad, below par, subpar,
I don't know that it's entirely true that there's subpar, but they're not incentivized the same way that a private school teacher is.
All I know is what Justin is telling me here, Mark.
Right.
He's telling me that he's experiencing subpar teaching. And yes, it is because of the incentives. Yes, if the incentives were changed, then they would either straighten up and become good teachers, or they'd be replaced by good teachers.
Yeah, and I'm a reporter in our school's newspaper, and I'm actually writing an article on this topic. Hmm. And I've actually kind of had to take some of the stuff out of it that I was writing.
Yeah, they're going to get angry.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the principal is kind of angered by it.
The principal, not only will the principal be angry, but the principal's angry because he or she knows that when that article gets published, or if it were to get published, he'd hear it from a lot of the teachers on campus. And you'd probably feel it from the teachers as well, because they'd be ticked at you.
Yeah, and last time when we published, I wrote a paper on the war on drugs and how it's kind of pathetic and it doesn't really do anything. And I kind of cited my own friends and the percentage that are drug users and talked about how it's useless. And I had to take out some of the stuff because they didn't like it.
Yeah, so, that's typical with a government school as well. They love to censor the government school newspaper. It's not a bastion of free speech at all. And, you know, good luck, Justin, in getting through your government school program.
My mom actually has decided to try and send me over to a boarding school on the East Coast up in New Hampshire, which is Cardigan.
I don't know. I'm not really aware of what the schools are here, but why do you need to be boarded? Are you a bad boy?
Oh, yeah, I'm awful. No, I have a 4.0 pretty much. I have a 3.9.
Isn't boarding school for bad kids?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay. Not usually.
I'd be going there to play sports because I'm pretty good at what I do, and so they're offering me a scholarship. So
well, that's fantastic, then. And good luck with that, and hopefully we'll see you in New Hampshire. Thanks for the call, man. We appreciate it. 800-259-9231. Let's go to Nico in Illinois. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark.
Hello.
Hi. Nico? Nico?
He's frozen.
Going once? Going twice? Yeah. He's not there. I don't know. Put him back on hold. See if he can get his voice back. In the meantime, we'll try Sam in Texas. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark.
Hey, gentlemen. I'm going to change gears on you here for
a minute. That's fine, Sam. What's on your mind?
I want to tell you about a piece of mail I got yesterday. It was a new bank card from my bank, which happens to be Compass. And it's got a touchless pay system in it where you just hold the card up to certain point-of-sale terminals, and it will transmit all this stuff wirelessly, and I looked into it, and sure enough, it's RFID.
Yeah,
that's exactly what that is.
Now, we've talked about that before in some of the tracking things, and, you know, anybody can set up a sensor, read it from maybe 15 feet away, and eventually you could get, like, credit bureaus who are collecting all this information and finding where people are going.
Mm-hmm.
And last time, I think I left Mark with kind of the wrong impression that somehow at the point of sale, your personally identifiable information could somehow be embedded into the RFID tag.
Okay.
But that's not actually the case. The RFID number, it's just like a serial number, isn't actually changed. It's just that those two pieces of information are tied together and then fed off somewhere for post-processing.
So wait, you're saying that when you scan the card, it essentially takes the ID number from the card and then runs it through a data bank and pulls, using that ID number, pulls your information? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not sure if it works that way, but anybody who wanted to set up a scanner or a reader could get that number. And then if somebody were to sell my contact information, like the bank were to sell my contact information, somebody like a credit bureau, those two pieces could be tied together, and then I can be tracked anywhere I go. And because that's a credit card, that's something I carry in my wallet that's with me all the time.
Right.
So they're tracking me wherever I go.
Well, I've heard what you can do about these RFID chips is, you know, sometimes when you get a credit card, it's not completely done, so you have to put it in the microwave for about 3 seconds.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what I did. I took it back up to my bank, and I happened to have a check that I needed to deposit that was generated a CTR for the government to, you know, look into my business.
Okay.
And I let them know that I was not very pleased about this. I wanted to talk to the bank manager who was out sick, but, you know, the employees were talking about it a little bit, and I explained how it's a complete violation of my privacy, and they didn't seem to get it. Looking at the card kind of funny, and then one of the other tellers said, oh, yeah, well, it's for security.
Yeah, of course it is.
Well, you don't want the terrorists to get your information, do you? Thanks for the call, man. We appreciate hearing from you. 800-259-9231. It's going to be a hard fight against this RFID because it's going to be in everything coming soon. How much are you paying for your residential long-distance phone service? Well, it's too much. Packet 8 is offering local and long-distance VoIP phone service for as low as $20 a month. You can call anywhere in the United States and Canada for as little as $20 a month. With Packet 8's soft talk service, you can turn your computer into a video phone. Packet 8 also offers virtual office services for small businesses. Get started and get saving with Packet 8. Go to packet8.net or call 1-866-TRY-VOIP. That's packet8.net or 1-866-TRY-VOIP. DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronics, photo, cell phone, office products, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supply, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Amazon.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, a great deal, delivery to your door, and a percentage of your purchase will go to Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon through Amazon.freetalklive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson, here for the 2007 Red Book. The commodity markets like gold, silver, copper, aluminum, and oil have exploded over the last year. This is a glaring testimonial of how quickly the U.S. dollar can be devalued. Many have turned to precious metals to provide a safe haven while increasing the potential profits. Though accumulating precious metals has been a proven method for the storage of wealth, it is important that you understand the market you are getting into. Midas Resources is offering the Red Book and Silver Dollar for only $27.95. The Red Book is the number one best-selling guide to gold and silver coins. Call for your copy today. It's 800-686-2237. If you've already accumulated or plan to get into the precious metals market, you simply must have the Red Book in your library. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
We're talking with Paul Dow from Timeshares Only. Paul, I hear you've just come out with this great new kit that you're giving away?
Yeah, it's called The Top 10 Secrets to Buying and Selling Timeshares, and it's just a phenomenal resource for anybody looking to sell their timeshare.
Well, tell us about it.
Well, first of all, it tells you what your timeshare is really worth.
Uh-huh.
And more importantly, how to sell it for top dollar. Well, there are thousands of people out there just waiting to buy your timeshare, but you sort of need to learn the secrets to getting the most cash for it.
And the kit is free.
Yes, but it's only a limited time offer, so you need to call our toll-free number now, and we'll rush it right out.
Well, sounds like a pretty sweet thing for really anybody who owns a timeshare.
It really is. It could make you thousands of dollars.
Well, okay, the top 10 secrets to buying and selling timeshares. Here's the phone number to call. It's 1-800-550-3903. Again, that's 1-800-550-3903. 1-800-550-3903.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easy to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. 1-866-885-6625.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, your show. You take control of the airwaves toll-free. 800-259-9231 is the Packet 8 toll-free line for you. And it's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
1-800-259-9231. You can also join us on our website, freetalklive.com. The wiki is there, wiki.freetalklive.com. It's like the listener-editable version of our website, wiki.freetalklive.com. And what's your liberty issue? Is it taxes? Register now for the February 2007 New Hampshire Liberty Forum. Speakers include Christopher Gronsky, the New Hampshire coordinator for the We the People Congress, and a taxpayer activism panel. FreeStateProject.org/Liberty Forum. For more information and to get registered, that's FreeStateProject.org
/Liberty Forum as we go back to the phones, back to the fun. Let's talk to Tony in Virginia. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark. Hello, Tony.
Hey, I was just listening to that guy about the RFID chips. I just read that book called Spy Chips, and that's a real eye-opener. There's so much stuff in that book about, they're hiring people to come and look at your trash, and take these little readers and collect information. And I've heard that...
You mean they're going to do that in the future, or they're doing that now? Because there's not very many RFID chips out there now.
No, they're doing that now. There's probably already stuff that has RFID chips. I've looked on the Internet to try to look, for one of those readers.
Mm-hmm.
But they are actually pretty cost prohibitive. I think the cheapest one you can get on the Internet, I think, is maybe a couple $100. And I don't even know if it plugs into your computer or not. I mean,
so you're saying people are taking the readers around to people's trash to find out what their consuming habits are?
That's right. Oh, it's a scary book. You ought to watch that movie, Freedom to Fascism, but read the book, Spy Chips, because she knows all about that. But I'll tell you what, though, as far as the liberty issue, the RFID chips ought to be a no-brainer because most people I talk to don't want those things. But another thing was in that book, they talked about how there was this sort of superstore in Germany, and then somebody found out that the cards that they were handing out had those RFID chips in them. And once the German public found out, they were just up in arms and had these big, huge demonstrations, and they had to recall those cards, and the store, I think, shut down or something like that.
Well, I still don't personally have an objection over RFID as a technology and for it being used for consumer products and tracking and that sort of thing. My objection comes in when government gets involved. My objection comes in when government wants to stick RFID chips onto your passport or into you or something like that, or government teams up with a company to look at their numbers, to look at their customers' purchasing records. When you bring government into the picture, then I think you've got a problem. But otherwise, I don't see what the problem is with RFID. It doesn't scare me that a store is going to know what sort of stuff I'm buying. I mean, I'm already on one of those membership card programs where they already know exactly what it is I'm buying. They don't have to go through my trash. I give it to them up front. They've got that information. Though I suppose somebody going through my trash would be a different company acquiring that info.
Usually when I go to a store, I just pay cash because I don't know. I guess I'm a little bit more on the privacy kick. There's something about that.
You just don't like the way it makes you feel. You don't like you feel like your privacy is being violated by these companies, basically.
Well, like the gentleman that has the RFID chip in his credit card, okay? Mm-hmm. Stores could set up readers. I've heard that Target already does this. I don't know. I haven't really read on that. But, you could walk into a store in the future and these readers could automatically, it's sort of like the world of, you ever see that movie Minority Report where they scan your eyeballs?
Cruise. Right.
Yeah, and then they automatically know who you are, and then they can, place ads that are sort of
targeted
marketed to you. Well, they can do that. You know, they're even talking about, maybe taking price tags off the shelves, and a loaf of bread would be $5 to one person.
I think that's absurd. I can't imagine that any company would get away with something like that. Like, how could they sell that to people? How could a company say? How could a company get people through their door when people would know that the prices adjust according to a variety of factors about them themselves? I wouldn't shop at a place like that.
I'll tell you exactly how they could sell it. They'd sell it as a security device, just like that guy was talking about when he walked into the bank. No.
How would that make me more secure to have a price adjust on a shelf?
Grocery stores sell price. They send out circulars. I mean, people care how much a per pound hamburger is. They care
that's
how much
absurd.
A loaf of bread is. I don't see for a second that that's going to happen.
Oh, yeah, I hope not.
No, I mean, just looking at it from a retail perspective, I mean, as somebody who's worked in retail, somebody who is a consumer, a shopper, if I don't know what that price is, and if that price isn't the same according to anybody that happens to walk in front of the shelf, I sure as heck wouldn't shop at a store like that. I can't imagine many people would. Tony, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. 800-259-9231. I think that what he was talking about there, because I've heard that claim before, I think that's probably something he read in that book about something that they could do with these chips. Like, it's technically possible to do, but the market won't bear it.
No, I don't see. I don't see.
Not
that's
for a
happen.
Moment. 800-259-9231. Let's go to Nico. He's back in Illinois. You're back on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark. Nico, attempt number two.
Hello.
Hey, hey, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
All right. Sorry, my cell phone cut
off. That's okay. Go for it.
All right, but with the RFID thing, he was talking about how they put it in, they could put it in trash cans to see what people are consuming and stuff.
They'd be scanning your trash to see if you're throwing away any RFID chips.
Right. Like in packaging and that sort of thing.
Okay. Well, I thought you actually had it on your show, but it could have been on another show. But basically what I heard was in England and Australia and stuff, they were in certain cities they were doing a thing on the trash cans that the city provided where they had RFID tags on there so they can monitor what trash is going in and out of the cans and stuff, and you know that way they can set restrictions on how much trash people throw out and stuff like that.
Now, how could they? How would an RFID chip have anything to do with trash? I mean, an RFID chip just sits there unless a reader comes along and reads its information.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have anything to do with. I mean, it can't weigh things. It can't calculate the amount of aluminum cans that's in a can. I don't understand exactly, Nico.
But I'm saying, if there's, stuff, like a mechanical equipment already in these cans that already, allows them to weigh, the trash and stuff like that, I guess they could put it on the RFID tag. I could be wrong.
Yeah, it sounds kind of questionable. I mean, I understand that the governments like to spend a lot of money on boondoggles. But to imagine that they're going to have a
self-weighing garbage can sounds really expensive.
Yeah, with a scale built into it, I don't think that's going to be the case. It'd be cheaper for them to just put a scale in the back of the garbage truck, dump the trash in, take the weight, and jot it down. But nonetheless, there are certainly some things, and Nico, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. 800-259-9231.
Well, there's a lot of disturbing things that could be done with RFID
Absolutely.
Chips when the government gets involved, and we're not trying to minimize that, but I don't want the government having that kind of information. They're only going to abuse it.
1-800-259-9231. That's where I'm with you on that one, Mark. Governments and RFID chips should not be combined. Industry, the marketplace, let the market decide. The market will. I mean, like the caller said, the people in Germany allegedly rose up against one particular company. That was the market speaking there. You take control of the airwaves, 800-259-9231. Brandon in Japan on the way, your calls as well. And teenagers playing house with real babies in the UK. We'll tell you about it.
People who use Cartabite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartabite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartabite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, herbal formulas like Cartabite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well thought out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at www.heartdrop.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
The statistics are heart-wrenching. According to the CWC, of the 43 million people who have served in the major wars, from the Revolutionary War to the Gulf War, 3 million never made it home alive. Most likely, each one of us can say we either knew someone who served or know a brave soul who is currently serving our country. Now there is a unique way to pay tribute to the courageous men and women who spend their lives protecting our freedom and to those who have lost their lives doing so. Davis Products is offering high-quality, solid-cast aluminum memorial markers for your American flag. Each memorial marker is specifically designed to represent one of 15 wars. All markers include a 3/8 inch pointed and threaded aluminum rod, painted and highlighted for an appearance that is unforgettable. What better way to pay homage to our enlisted loved ones? Davis Products memorial markers are only $9 a piece and can be ordered by calling 814-827-4946. That's 814-827-4946. Or visit davis-products.com. That's davis-products.com.
Shelly, you look exhausted.
Oh, wait. Why did you turn that down?
I get so tired of that girl's squeaky voice. I'm sure the bed fan works, but that squeaky voice.
Well, what's the bed fan?
It's a fan that helps hot sleepers stay cool at night.
I could use something like that. This menopause thing is really getting to me at night, and you know how I am about doing that hormone therapy thing. Besides, you're a hot sleeper yourself. You're always throwing the covers off in the middle of the night.
I guess you're right. Why don't we try it? Just think how nice it'll be to sleep through the night.
Yeah, and just think how nice it'll be this summer and all the money we can save on air conditioning.
I know where we can get some more information.
Sleep disorder centers across the country recommend that you must stay cool to get a good night's sleep. The bed fan will keep you cool and give you the restful sleep you deserve. With our 30-day 100% guarantee, you risk nothing. Are you a hot sleeper? Is your partner a hot sleeper? The bed fan is the answer. Visit us today at www.bedfan.com. That's www.bedfan.com.
That's bed, FAN.com.
According to a recent report by the National Institute of Health, high blood pressure is a major risk factor for heart disease and the chief risk factor for stroke and heart failure. It affects about 50 million Americans. That's one in four adults. Because many people have high blood pressure for years without knowing it, the American Heart Association calls it the silent killer. At ResearchedHerbs.com, we recognize your concern for your well-being. As your online partner in health, we are committed to empowering you with the resources you need to make informed health decisions about high blood pressure. Visit us online at ResearchedHerbs.com to learn more about heart care, the widely researched natural herbal supplement for regulating blood pressure and maintaining optimum heart health. Did you know that the safety and effectiveness of heart care is backed by over 100 clinical trials and experimental studies? Act now. Visit us online at ResearchedHerbs.com or call us at 1-800-845-3841 to start protecting yourself from the silent killer. That's 1-800-845-3841.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
This is Free Talk Live, your show. You take control of the airwaves. Toll free 800-259-9231. The Packet 8 toll free line for you. That's 1-800-259-9231. It's Ian here with
and Mark.
You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site are completely free. That does include the updates. You get signed up for the updates, and we'll clue you in whenever there's something fresh to announce about the show. Updates.freetalklive.com to get on the list. That is updates. freetalklive.com as we go to Brandon in Japan. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark. Hello.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning, hey, Brandon. What's on your mind?
Not too much. Hey, I know you guys are talking a lot about RFIDs, but I want to switch it back over to private and public education again.
Sure.
It was really interesting hearing, I forgot what his name was, but he was a student who went to private school.
Justin in Utah, yes.
Yeah, and made the transition back into public school. And the first thing I would say to him is, if you know, as a person who works in education, I really hate to use the word teacher, educator, because for me that has a kind of a very sour tang when I say that, and it's because of government education. Is to Justin, if you're really interested in your education, I really suggest that you get out of government education, and even if there is no high school, really seriously look at the possibility of maybe doing home education or self-education,
mm-hmm.
Or hiring a professional private tutor. It'll definitely cost you more money, but I think that the time that you'll save and the quality of your education will certainly benefit. And that message really extends to all of the parents that are listening to the show in America. If you really love your kids, get your kids out of government education.
I totally agree.
Because you're really doing your kids a disservice. And one of the reasons why, you know, private educators are so much better is, you know, a lot of private educators aren't teachers by education. A lot of them are former professionals. who happen to now work in education and teach in the fields that they were professionals at.
I see. So they already know the curriculum. They know what they're teaching.
Right. So I'd be really curious to talk to Justin and find out if those one or two really good teachers he had actually happened to be people who, you know, got their education in a different field, kind of like I did, and then went back into education kind of either as a vacation or as kind of a change of pace after working in their profession for so long.
Excellent questions. And I like what you're saying. I like the message that you're putting out there for the parents. And it seems harsh on its face, you know? Hey, if you love your kids, why are you sending them to government school? And I have to agree with it. In fact, my girlfriend, she was sort of forced out of her government school because she had a problem with the vice principal at that particular school. And it was probably one of the best things that happened to her because she was forced out. She got the GED, and she moved on with her life. If she wanted to, she could go to college. But she's doing fine in the working world without having essentially even. I mean, she's got the diploma right from the GED, but she didn't get it the way most people did. She didn't graduate high school like most people did, and it hasn't been a hindrance to her at all. And as Marcus pointed out, when you're applying for a job in life and they ask you if you have a high school diploma, no one ever checks. You just tell them you've got a high school diploma. They'll never know. It's really just
right,
useless. It's just a waste of time.
Right. And the main point for that kind of stuff is can you do the job that they want you to do? And
you know, it's not
GED.
It's not the diploma. It's the education you get. And, you know, if you know the stuff that they're talking about, you know enough math and you know enough. I mean, I think that English and the ability to use the English language well is extremely important in the working world. But, you know, that's my personal opinion.
Right.
Very good, Brandon. Any other thoughts?
No, not really. Just other than, you know, just a couple of points on, you know, one of the reasons why teachers, you know, you may, if you're working in education as a government education, I would also seriously encourage you to kind of reconsider your career path because you may be a very talented individual in the education industry, but because you're working for a government school, you're eventually going to get mired down in so much bureaucracy.
Yeah.
That I've seen a lot of education professionals who enter the government schools very enthusiastic, very effective at teaching. For, you know, after 3 or 4 years, they're just completely burned out. And the only reason that they're there now is because they have so much money invested in their pension that they can't really see leaving.
Yeah, I can understand them getting definitely burnt out on the system. I've known some people that have worked in government schools, and there was always a new story to tell, always some new bureaucratic blunder to talk about, some new mandated training class that they had to go to that they just felt like they were wasting their time at, essentially spinning their wheels. And I could also understand that considering some of the kids that are in government school, because the kids are in this sort of area where learning isn't really encouraged in a way that the market would encourage it in, they don't really want to learn. They hate the government schools. They hate being there. So it could seem maybe to the teacher like the kids suck too. Not only does the system suck, but the kids suck. And I could really see how that could be overwhelming to somebody.
Sure, absolutely.
Brandon, thanks for the call. We appreciate hearing from you as always. 800-259-9231. The Packet 8 toll-free line. Since we're talking about young people, the BBC, according to the Daily Mail, has outraged child protection experts by producing a reality television show where infants are handed over to live with teenage parents. The Baby Borrowers charts the experience, the name of the show, Baby Borrowers, charts the experience of the teenagers as they struggle to cope with the demands of parenthood. Five couples aged between 16 and 19 were filmed attempting to care for tiny babies and young children. Local authorities, local officials were so concerned about the very real risk of physical and psychological damage to the children that they urged the BBC to cancel the series.
So who's going to damage the teenagers or the babies?
The teenagers are going to damage the babies.
Oh, I see. Because having a baby could really damage a teenager.
In one episode, a 10... Now, these aren't their real babies, though. You understand?
I understand.
Right, okay. In one episode, a 10-year-old goes without food for a day during what the BBC describes as a unique social experiment. On another occasion, a baby had to be removed from the care of one couple as their relationship fell apart. Yet the corporation ignored formal protests, refusing to allow social workers on the set to monitor filming, and has been accused of cynically putting babies and children at risk for the sake of entertainment. The BBC insists, however, that it has taken extraordinary steps to ensure the safety of the children and claimed that it had worked with one specialist charity to ensure the series was handled with sensitivity. But the charity, Teens and Toddlers, which runs classes for teenagers wanting a family in order to demonstrate the harsh reality of parenthood, denied taking any part in the program.
Oh.
Director Peter Hines said they felt uncomfortable when asked if they would get involved. He says, "We were not sure about the supervision and professionalism of those involved. We didn't get enough details, and we declined to be involved further." The 8-episode Fly on the Wall series will be shown on the digital channel BBC over 8 days. It features five teenage sets of parents who are moved into a street of empty houses on the edge of Norwich. After caring for their baby, the teenage couples are subsequently given a toddler to look after for 3 days, then a child under 10, and finally a teenager. Up to 25 children aged between 6 months and 14 years old were used for the program.
Mm.
I think it sounds kind of interesting. Sounds like entertaining television to me.
Yeah, I don't see any real dangers here. You know, something terrible could happen, but something terrible could happen anytime.
They call it a fly on the wall program, which makes it sound like they're just going to be cameras in the house. But if there are actually cameramen there with some sort of training, I'm sure that if the kids are, you know, suffocating the babies or
why would they do
shaking
that?
The babies, the cameramen would probably step in at that point and say, hey,
I
hey,
can't
hey.
Imagine they would shake the babies.
Well, you know, people shake babies.
They do because they can't escape the baby. I mean, these teenagers know, hey, worst case scenario, this baby's gone in 6 days.
The BBC,
all I got to do is manage to try to get some sleep and feed the baby now and then I'm done with this crap.
The BBC says it's designed to see how young people respond to being a parent at a time when Britain has the highest teenage pregnancy rate in Europe. Now, Britain may have the highest teenage pregnancy rate in Europe, but the United States, of all developed nations, has the highest of all developed nations.
Now, what is the name of the social worker that's complaining here?
Some social bureaucracy. I didn't catch that.
It's the name of the bureaucracy, not a social worker?
I don't think it's one particular worker. It's probably a group of them.
Just trying to point out that this bureaucracy, or whatever they are, wouldn't have gotten their name in the paper, and no one would have cared what the hell they were doing if it hadn't been complaining about this reality series.
Some of the TV parents, so-called, even looked after two children at a time while juggling household budgets in their own relationships. The real parents of the babies and children watched the action unfold nearby via monitors, along with trained child care professionals and registered child minders.
How about jobs?
Like enough
Did the teenagers have jobs at the same time? Because if you're just watching some kids and balancing your checkbook, you don't have a very busy day. I think you can handle it.
Yeah, I wonder about that as well. Nonetheless, sounds like it'd be an interesting little experiment. More on the way. Your show, you take control. This is Free Talk Live.
It's no secret. Aluminum itself adversely affects the blood-brain barrier and is capable of causing DNA damage. Research has even shown that aluminum salts used in antiperspirants have detrimental effects. So why are you still using traditional deodorant? Well, there is an alternative, and it's called NoBO. NoBO eliminates the bacterial growth, which causes odor, and does not interfere with perspiration, which is important for allowing your body to expel toxins. There are no chemicals, aluminum, preservatives, or petroleum-based ingredients in NoBO. Just natural ingredients like grapeseed oil, arrowroot powder, silica, vitamin E, tea tree oil, and geranium. NoBO's job is to destroy the bacteria that causes the odor while soothing your skin. You can use NoBO under your arms, on tough foot odors, or for athlete's foot. NoBO is guaranteed 100% or receive a full refund. Visit no-bo.com to order. That's no-bo.com. Or call 850-723-8599.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive, toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering through our website. Just go to amazon.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a percentage of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site, amazon.freetalklive.com. That's amazon.freetalklive.com.
Do you owe back taxes to the IRS or to the state? You are not alone.
Nationwide Tax Relief is here, and we can get you a fresh start. I'm Richard Boggs, founder and CEO of one of the largest tax resolution firms in the country. If you're suffering from wage garnishments, bank levies, an audit, or unfiled tax returns, my staff of expert tax attorneys will step in, step up, and settle your tax debt. Do not fall for the scams that promise everyone some fast, pennies on the dollar compromise. If you owe more than $20,000 in any IRS or state taxes, you've got a serious tax problem. So get serious. Call Nationwide Tax Relief. We're honest and we'll treat you like family. Call us for your free confidential consultation. Again, you're not alone. You've got Nationwide.
Call Nationwide Tax Relief today at 1-800-958-2677. That's 1-800-958-2677.
It's a fact. You can legally eliminate credit card debt, which has been fraudulently created by the banks. Since its creation in 1913, the Federal Reserve has not been held responsible for its own debt. So why should you, the hardworking American, be harassed for yours? There's a double standard when it comes to being responsible for debt, and unlike the Federal Reserve, the people of this country can't print more money when needed. Day of Jubilee has created a successful program designed for people that want to stop harassing calls and threatening letters from bill collectors. We also do credit restoration. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their credit card debt instead of living each day in fear. It's time to turn your life around. Call Day of Jubilee, open 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Standard Time at 920-293-8024. That's 920-293-8024 and ask for Robert. Don't wait any longer to get your life back in order.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, your show. You take control of the airwaves, toll free, 800-259-9231. Bring up anything. Ian here with you.
And Mark.
1-800-259-9231 is the Packet 8 toll-free line for you. And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site are completely free. And that does include the live streams that we have there and everything else at freetalklive.com that we do ask you for voluntary support. Those other radio talk show hosts want to charge you $5, $6, $7 a month for their website's features. We give it all away up front, but we do ask that you buy some stuff in return. Like some Free Talk Live branded merchandise, like our Free Talk Live hats and t-shirts, as well as DVD collector sets, the Free Marketeer flag, a variety of products there at store.freetalklive.com. That's where you can place your order and browse around, store.freetalklive.com. And another place you can shop and help Free Talk Live is at Amazon.freetalklive.com. They are the world's largest internet retailer. They've got 35 categories of products, everything from their brand new grocery store. That's right. You can now actually buy food at Amazon now, to the usual stuff, DVDs, books, office products, furniture. It's all there. Amazon.freetalklive.com. Anything you purchase, Free Talk Live gets a percentage of. Oh, and I mentioned that there was some space news, Mark, about private space travel with somebody who's so at least a few degrees separated from Free Talk Live. It's the billionaire founder of Amazon.com.
Oh, God.
He's actually behind a private space organization. And we've talked about the Spaceship One, right?
Right.
We've talked about the X Prize. We've talked to, there was another guy, I don't remember his name. There was another group that was looking, that's up. There's a variety of private mm-hmm. organizations now jumping into the space game.
Now that it's legal, there's a lot of rich people that want to go to space, and they're willing to build spaceships to get there.
Well, according to the BBC, the billionaire founder of Amazon.com has released the first images of the launch of a private spacecraft that could bring space travel to the masses. A video of the cone-shaped Goddard vehicle shows it climbing to about 285 feet, before returning back to Earth.
So it's a rocket.
That's correct.
Okay.
The test launch took place in November of 2006 in a remote part of Texas, but details have only now been released. The images mark the first time that Jeff Bezos has broken his silence on the work of his space company, Blue Origin. Writing on the company's website, Bezos said, quote, "We're working patiently and step by step to lower the cost of spaceflight so that many people can afford to go, and so that we humans can better continue exploring the solar system." Now, look at that. I mean, look at that vision statement there, and compare it to anything that NASA has ever said.
What's NASA been talking about? They want to explore the solar system, but they want to keep it in their own camp. They don't want to allow anybody else up there.
Well, they don't seem to be getting very far in the solar system.
No.
You know, the last thing that we did that was really of any import, as far as I can tell, is walked on the moon in the 60s.
Well, they've sent a few satellites out there. They've sent
I would agree that putting the satellites from a commercial standpoint is a great thing.
Well, now the commercial people have been doing that on their own. I didn't mean satellites. I meant the Explorer thing. There's
cameras into space.
Yeah, it goes really far out to Pluto and stuff like that.
Fabulous. But what about people?
Right. There's no mission statement there for NASA.
I mean, all we've done with people since the 60s is shoot them up into the air and let them circle the Earth. They stay up there a period of time, and then they come back. I'm sure they do all kinds of really valuable experiments while they're up there, like, you know, what direction does my hair grow when there's no gravity? And, you know, is it possible to pee in space?
Well, you say have they done valuable experiments. From what we've seen in our history of looking at NASA, critically looking at them on this show, turns out there hasn't actually been, or there haven't been, any real results
from the
NASA experiments.
Yeah, the great thing about the space program has been what companies have developed for the space program,
right,
not what has been developed as a result of the, can beetles live in space stuff.
So I'm looking at the NASA website to see if there's some sort of mission statement. Or it's just something that we could maybe compare to this gentleman from Amazon.com. I don't see anything that's jumping out at me here. Okay, here we go. About NASA. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, there's the bureaucrats that are in charge. You can find out about them. Frequently asked questions. I'll see if I can dig it up here. But in the meantime, we'll talk Amazon. Because this guy's doing something for humanity. Jeff Bezos from Amazon.com, his company Blue Origin, working patiently and step-by-step to lower the cost of spaceflight so that many people can afford to go and so that we humans can better continue exploring the solar system. I like it.
You know, how much money is there going to be in the for the first company that can get you up there and circle you around the Earth a few times? There's going to be a whole lot. A whole lot of people want to do that. They want to feel that weightlessness. They want to experience that. Then next comes the first space hotel, you know, a private space station, mm-hmm, where they'll have rooms and, you know, that kind of thing. You can experience being up there for days or weeks at a time, depending on how long you want to pay. I just see a real industry here just in space tourism, and we don't even have to get to the moon.
What's the first question on the NASA
right
Frequently Asked Questions file? How do I get a job at NASA? So we'll get back to Amazon. He says,
sure,
accomplishing this mission will take a long time, and we're working on it methodically. Mr. Bezos founded Blue Origin in 2000 with the intention of developing a vertical takeoff and landing vehicle called New Shepard, able to take passengers to the edge of space. No timescale for commercial trips have been announced, but documents released by the Federal Aviation Administration suggest they could start as early as 2010. The latest videos show there's still a lot of development work to do before the company reaches that stage. The footage shot in November from a site east of El Paso, Texas, shows the first craft to launch under the New Shepard program. Called Goddard, the retro-looking development vehicle is shown standing on four legs before blasting off in a cloud of smoke from thrusters on its base. The vehicle continues to ascend for approximately 10 seconds, reaching a height of nearly 300 feet. It then starts to descend before making a controlled landing back on its feet approximately 25 seconds after takeoff. The launch, described by Mr. Bezos as both useful and fun, was watched by friends, family, and a team of engineers. He says, my only job at the launch was to open the champagne, says Mr. Bezos. The website message doesn't say whether the vehicle contained any passengers or why there was a delay between the launch and the release of the footage. Bezos now hopes to recruit a team of engineers to the New Shepard program to develop the design and increase the altitude and duration of flight. So you've got a proof of concept at this point. You've got a vehicle that was able to go up almost 300 feet and land on its feet when it returned. It's not going to take them long to tweak this.
It amazes me that they can do that, that you can shoot it up in the air like that, and then it can come back down and land on its own little feet.
And this thing is not the size. I mean, I'm looking at the Goddard here picture, and of course we link to all these on our bulletin board system, so you'll be able to see it later on at freetalklive.com. But this is being carried on the back of a semi-rig, unlike the space shuttle, which is this tremendously large device that hasn't changed significantly in the last several decades.
Mm.
That's one of the neat things that you're going to see about private space exploration and space development is competition is going to really keep the space vehicles small. It's going to keep them affordable. And Bezos and the other guys, Richard Branson, all those other people that are competing in this field, within a matter of years, we're going to start seeing space tourism. We're going to start seeing it become affordable because of these capitalists, these wonderful people with money to invest in the future of space travel. And it's their money that they're risking, not mine and not yours.
You know, I wish that they would just tell the FAA to go jump in a lake. I don't see any reason why somebody who's shooting a spacecraft pretty much straight up and down has anything to do with the FAA. Are we talking about air highways up there, you know, super corridors where planes are always going through? Please, it's air. I mean, it's three-dimensional. There's so much room for stuff up there. I just can't imagine the FAA needs to be involved in this.
So Bezos is looking for engineers, looking specifically for experienced propulsion engineers and people with, quote, experience on large modern vehicles such as Delta IV, Atlas V. Blue Origin is one of several private companies vying to open up space to the public. U.S.-based Space Adventures has already taken four space tourists to the International Space Station, while in September of 2006, Sir Richard Branson unveiled a mock-up of a rocket-powered vehicle that will carry six passengers and two pilots to an altitude of about 85 miles. His Virgin Galactic design is based on Spaceship One, the craft designed by Scaled Composites that won the Ansari X Prize in 2005. The first passengers could take off in 2009. So you've got 2010 being a target date for Bezos from Amazon. You've got Richard Branson targeting 2009 for the first passengers in his vehicle. Other entrepreneurs jostling for their place in space, and this is the one I was trying to remember, include hotel tycoon Robert Bigelow, who launched Genesis 1, an experimental inflatable spacecraft, in July of 2006. So there you've got at least three different competitors that we know of. And Bezos, we didn't know that he'd even successfully launched his vehicle until just now, and he did it back in November. So who knows what other things are being kept under wraps? Who knows what other developments are going on out there? I think it's pretty exciting, Mark.
I think I would have to totally agree.
And I haven't been excited about space since I was a kid, right? You know, once you get to be a teenager, then NASA gets boring. Because NASA is boring.
It's a bunch of bureaucrats.
Right. And NASA's pathetic. As far as its failure rate is concerned, they very rarely launch anything. And of the few times that they actually do launch things, you get spacecraft going up in flames. Parts falling all across the United States.
That could happen to any company, but it
could.
Seems like putting bureaucrats in charge of building things, it's more likely.
It's
close enough for government work,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. 800-259-9231. Hour 3 is on the way. You take control. They're going to go through your mail, perhaps. We'll tell you about it coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Hi, Ted Anderson here. I'm happy to announce that the audience has increased over 200% this year, and our advertisers have sent testimonials complimenting the responsiveness. Sponsorship is critical at both local and national levels. If you have a business, product, or message that could benefit from this broadcast locally, call the station you're listening to. For national exposure, call 877-996-4327. Become a part of the Genesis team by calling your local station or call the national line at 877-996-4327.
Hey.